We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight.
Yeah, baby. That means Kinger's on the program. A good friend of ours, his name is Chris King, is the senior VP of operations for the National Hockey League. Of course, this is their time of year. The school's back in. Good morning, Chris. How are you, buddy?
Ange, good morning, my friend. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. You guys got to be all
Thanks
excited.
Thanks for reminding
time.
Me that my summer's dwindling away here.
No kidding. Hey, did I hear correctly? You just came back from a fishing trip with your son?
Yeah, my son and I, after we saw you up at the lodge, Shogi Lodge of Steve, we took off to northern Manitoba. We went in a little early and went to Selkirk and got some big old ugly cat, channel cats. We had a double header of 36-pounders each. Thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
And then we headed to Aikens Lake Wilderness Lodge in northern Manitoba, and I caught the... kind of bragging here now, but it's you called me this early, so I caught the biggest pike of the last 2 years. There was a 44-incher, and it was probably just under 30 pounds, but it was a tank, and it was a lot of fun, Ange. It was
wow.
It was one of those ones that you went hunting for, and we found it. We heard it swirl. We left it for a half hour, came back, and second cast it hammered, and we had it. Well, in the net, nice pitchers, and back on its way in less than 5 minutes. It was a pretty exciting time for me and my son.
Now, I'm assuming this was not the first trip you've made with your son?
No, my family loves to fish, and I say that sitting here in my dad. I wish we had FaceTime. You wouldn't believe how beautiful it up here this morning in Muskoka. I've got my toughest charter of the year this morning. I'm taking my wife and my daughter to Lake Joe.
And, oh, good for you.
I couldn't sleep last night. You know, they like to fish, but they love to catch more. You know how that is, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Anyway, my son and I, we've been to Aikens Lake a few times, but we tend to get in the boat as much as we can, and so does my daughter. And actually, I used to take my wife to all the spots I knew there was no fish on Lake Muskoka when we cottaged up there for 15 years, and it seemed every time we went there, she caught something. So she's... lack a better term, hooked. So for her 50th birthday, she wanted to go to a fishing lodge instead of Wimbledon. So that tells you how screwed I am.
Wow. Good for you. A lot of guys listening right now would love to have that problem.
I doubt that. There's as many as equal as saying this guy's crazy.
Well, that's true, too. Before we get much more into the fishing part, I just want to quickly go over the hockey background. Of course, I mentioned before you came on, you spent 3 years with our beloved Leafs. I'm going to assume the three best years of your hockey career.
Well, the people in Winnipeg would be really upset to hear that, and I'm sure they listened to you out there, too. But, you know, Angie, when you play this game that you love for as long as I did, 15 years, I played in six different cities and made the best of every one. And obviously coming to Toronto as a Northern Ontario kid and knowing Daryl Sittler as a young guy who in itself was a great fisherman and loved it, he came up to Horn Payne when we were living there and did some fishing. And that's kind of when I thought, you know, I'd really like to play this game at the professional level, and to play for the Leafs with my family only an hour and a half north and seeing them every week. It was a dream come true, and we had good teams. You know, we got close a few times, but it was something that allowed me the opportunity to play for the team that I loved growing up watching, and it was every bit that I thought it would be.
Now, being a VP, a senior VP for the NHL, I don't know whether you have to stay apolitical or neutral, but what's your feelings on this year's Leaf team?
Well, first of all, being a senior VP only gets me a parking spot about three closer to the elevator at the Scotiabank Center now. So the titles don't mean a lot in our business, but I think what it means is I've been there a long time. I've now actually been in the league office longer than I was on the ice. This is my 17th year with Coley Campbell and his group down there. But you know what? You're right. You don't have favorites. You have 31 teams that you take care of. But, you know, signing a John Tavares is a windfall for this organization. He's a great young man. He's a great player. We all know that. And surrounding a guy that has played at higher levels, whether it's international. And, you know, John hasn't played a lot of playoff hockey in the last little bit. But this team is going to be there for a while. And with Matthews and you know, Marner and Nylander and some of the young guys on the blue line, this team's ready to make that next step, and they've got the goaltender to help them get there. It'll be a pretty exciting year for all Leaf fans, I'm sure of that. if we don't screw them enough, you know, in video replay. And
well, I was going to get to that.
No kidding. Hey, Chris, it's Jack here, and I noticed that your brain kicked in pretty sharp on the Scotiabank Arena there, and I know that for a guy that spends a lot of time there, that's kind of been entrenched in our vocabulary now.
Well, you know what? Our offices are in that building. And,
yes.
You know, when you tell people where you work, you say the ACC Towers. Now, I mean, we have to try to get that out of our mindset. Everybody says they're going to the ACC. It just rolls off the tongue. And,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, Scotia paid a lot of money for the naming rights. And I think they have to come up with a pet name for that. And I was throwing out the vault, but I don't know if anybody else grabbed it, you know.
Yeah,
but
no kidding.
To us, it's just 9 months of work. That's our workplace.
I spent much of this last week at the Scotiabank Arena, and the renovations that they're doing is pretty amazing. They did a nice new entrance to your building there at 50 Bay for you guys, moving reception downstairs and stuff. But it looks like, you know, as a Toronto guy, the fans are going to be welcome to a lot of nice new upgrades to the arena over the next year and two.
It's something they're very serious about. You know, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment have taken over that Air Canada Tower, what it used to be, and rightfully so, with the amount of businesses that they have with their basketball, hockey, soccer, and the rest of what they do. And to be able to be that close to the teams, and I say teams when they come to town, to be able to go down and talk to the coaches and talk to them about the game and the trends in the game and things that they're interested in, there couldn't be a better place for us. And that's our video room. When they say they're going to Toronto for video review, that's where we do it. We hang out. And I extend the invitation to both of you, as I did to Ange and Pete last month. Whenever you're down that way, please come up and see the coolest men's basement room that exists. And it's we forget when my buddies come, they think it's the greatest thing in the world. And, you know, come mid-February, it's just work. But a very important part of the game now, as we all know, with technology, it's come to that, and we take it very seriously in hockey ops.
Before we get off the topic and move on to what we brought you on the program to talk about, and that is outdoors and fishing, but before we get off the topic, I have to ask you, Chris, what's been the most difficult decision goal-wise that you've ever had to make? Do you recall one being more outstanding than any others in terms of making that final decision? And the impact of that decision.
Yeah, well, you know, they're all very important. And the parity in our game today, guys, you can make a decision in November that's so far away from any playoff series that everybody thinks, oh, it's just another call. We got screwed here in November by Toronto or the officials or whoever the case might be. But then they might miss the playoffs by one point, you know. So everybody, to them, to every team, it's the biggest call of the year. But I remember we had a call in the final, I think it was Pittsburgh, Nashville, and there was a close play at the blue line that Pittsburgh challenged for offside. It was the first goal of the game. Nashville was just running in Pittsburgh and looked like they had the game under control. They scored early, and the play was offside. Nashville to this day doesn't agree with us, but it was a hard call in a pretty tough environment, and we were forced to make the call and the right call. The reason of doing it in Toronto is you're out of the elements of the building, you're away from the crowd, you're away from all the pressures that go with it, and you're in a room, and it's the same three, four guys making the call every night. So what the GMs wanted was consistency, and this gives us the best opportunity to be consistent. Now, in the final, we go on the road and do it, and then it becomes a little tougher, but I've got all my bosses around me, so I get a lot of help.
I didn't know you went to on the road in the finals, so that's cool.
Oh yeah, no, we take it on the road because obviously there's a lot more babysitting to do when we're that deep into the playoffs.
Good stuff. Well, keep up the good work. I've yet to. I mean, there's been a couple of cases where I disagreed with you, but
I know how much of a Babcock disciple you are, Ange, and you know you think whatever he says is the gospel truth, and a lot of the times, Mike.
Mike sees things in blue and white, and it sounds to me like you might be one of those guys, too. But that's okay. We know how to deal with you guys.
I would never doubt you, my friend, never. Listen, I want to talk to you about your background and your connection to the outdoors, including your brief, albeit brief, little connection to my world, and that is fishing television production, which I'm sure a lot of folks are not aware of, it's time we made them aware of it. But we've got to take a quick break. Can you sit tight for a couple of minutes with us?
Absolutely.
Chris King, Senior VP of Operations for the National Hockey League, and we're going to dwell into his other side, which is outdoors fishing, and the passion that he has for sharing that with friends and family. It's extraordinary. You don't want to miss it. More Journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
Good morning, everybody.
Want to learn more about a guest you heard on the radio?
Maybe you're out fishing and missed an episode. Want to catch up? Well, now you can. Facebook.com/Fishing Canada to learn more about your favorite outdoor shows, Fishing Canada Television, and Outdoor Journal Radio. Search the archive and download hundreds of radio episodes.
Like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at ODJ Radio.
And, of course, listen live, the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. More than ever, your definitive guide to the great outdoors.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Levity. We have Derek Brandeo, Maria Saint-Aubin at the controls, keeping us off the rocks and the straight and narrow. And sitting beside me, poking me to go on the rocks, is good friend Jack Summers from Radio World fame.
It depends on what you're going to have on the rocks.
Yeah, exactly. I figured
that's your style.
That. Online with us, good friend Chris King, Senior VP of Operations for the National Hockey League. And he's the guy who breaks our hearts when he says that was an offside goal for the Leafs, that is. Otherwise, he can call them offside anytime he wants. And now, Kinger, I want to talk about first of all, you know, I said your albeit brief little skirmish with my world.
Right.
That is the fishing television program world. You did a season. Now, correct me, because I know you will. You did a season or part season or more than one season with a program called Full Contact Fishing.
Ironically enough, yes. This fourth line left winger did a fishing show that was called Full Contact Fishing. And I was actually a guest on the show with old host Todd Million. I'm sure many in the fishing world remember Todd, a great fisherman, a real nice guy. Yeah. And they needed to finish the season. Todd was unavailable to do it. So they asked me if I could help them shoot three more shows to finish the one season, which I did. I think I wasn't my fishing expertise that got me the job. It was my connection with a lot of hockey players. And the idea of the show was we weren't going to teach you anything like you and Pete do, you know, how to do this, how to do that, how to catch walleye on a break. You know, we were going to show you Wendell Clark sitting on the back of a motor with a jigging rod in his hand and a beer in the other. And,
exactly.
sitting on the shore and talking to Mike Gartner about his 600-plus goals and Kirk Muller about living in Kingston and Wilf Paymon of why he was the real 99. And just gave hockey fans who I know a lot of hockey fans are fishing fans, and it seems to go either, well, in our business, when you go on the road to California, you either go, most guys go play golf or the other guys go fishing. So there's a lot that hockey fans and fishermen have in common. So we gave that little bit of the element of the show back to the fans. And it was an interesting concept. I personally got a chance to shoot the next season as well. Unbeknownst to my wife, when I had agreed to do it because it was in the off season and I was still playing and didn't get a chance to see her all that much, but it was tough. We certainly didn't produce the quality of shows that you guys do, Ange, but it was a neat little kind of high tempo, get to know your favorite players off the ice and in a boat and at a lodge, and it was fun for the time that we did. But with my exit from the ice to the office, I just didn't have the time to pursue it any further. But it was something I really enjoyed. And there's, I don't know, there might be 15 shows out there on YouTube that your fans might be able to Google and go have a look.
Well, I got to tell you, when it took place, when it happened, obviously I'm in the business, so it's our job to know what everybody's doing. And the concept was fantastic. I thought it was absolutely outstanding. And the fact that you guys went out of your way to say, hey, listen, you know, this isn't your typical fishing show. We're not going to sit here and pretend to know everything there is to know about fishing and pretend to teach you that. We're not doing that. You guys were refreshing, actually, in our industry, and I applaud you. I applaud you back then. I applaud you for that, and continue to do so, because I think there's a need for that type of program today on the air, because
I'm not as busy as I used to be in the summer.
Let's get her done.
Let's go back to Stevie's Lodge. Let's sit down and have a chat.
Let's get her done. I love it. Anyways.
And, you know, I didn't have Jack's quality electronics back then either.
That's
so maybe
right.
I could have taught somebody something, you know?
You know, it was one of those situations you were way before your time, right? That was the time for you. Yeah.
It was one of those things like, oh, there's a nice big rock. Maybe there's a fish there. Not, hey, yeah. Let's look at this Lowrance. And, oh, yeah, there is lots there, you know?
You know, that was a good lead-in, Chris, because just this morning I was thinking about what a knuckle-dragger my friend Angelo was 10 years ago, and he sent me this email yesterday that was, you know, based around him watching YouTube videos on LiveScope and being very excited in more ways than one about getting his unit next week and getting filming with it. So, you know,
you're talking about Panoptics. You could say it.
Panoptics and LiveScope, yes.
I'm glad you clarified that.
That's right. Thank you, Chris. You
know, what else would I have been talking about?
Oh, exactly. I don't know. Leave it to your imagination.
Hey, Chris, now, how much time now that you do have, I'm assuming you have the summers off.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much time do you spend on the water?
Well, this summer was interesting. Well, to answer your question, as much as I possibly can, I grew up in Horn Payne in Northern Ontario, and I'm sure you know, many know that there's real good fishing up there, and my dad was a great outdoorsman, both hunter and fisherman, and we were in a boat before we were walking, usually, and fell in love with fishing early. So when we moved to back to Muskoka, I tried to do as much as I could, and once the draft's over, start of July, we get up here, and I joined the Muskoka Bassmasters group, and we have tournaments usually every weekend. We take our group down to different team events, and I try to get out two or three times a week if looking around, my wife will let me and have some fun, you know. And then believe it or not, there's lots of really good quality lakes up here in the Muskoka area, and it keeps us pretty busy. But this summer my daughter got married, which took half of July, and Mr. Trump kind of had everybody hanging on to their older boats, so I had sold mine last fall looking for a new one this spring, and everybody was worried that they were going to have to pay way more for a new one, so there wasn't a lot of quality used ones out there. I finally found a new Skeeter there a couple weeks ago and off a real good fisherman out of Port Perry, and I've been getting used to it now, so it's something I love to do, something that relaxes me in the summertime after a really long, stressful season in the office, and just gives me the opportunity to enjoy the Muskokas as much as people should. It's a beautiful spot. This is a place that I just love hanging out for 3 months in the summer.
And you know what really impressed the hell out of me about you on our recent get together was the fact. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you are Chris King. You're an NHL hockey player, and you're an executive in the NHL. And here you are mucking around with, you know, some other anglers. You guys belong to a bass club, and you're talking, you know, the weekend, getting together with the club, and going down to the local Canadian Tire store and putting your boat out front and talk to the kids about fishing. And I like, that was so cool what you guys do. And then people just don't ever hear about this side of most anglers. You know, the genuine enthusiasm that you guys obviously have, and I'm talking about your club, and you're going to tell us about that here in a minute. The genuine love and passion that you have for your thing called fishing that you want to share with kids, just to a guy like me, it is just so refreshing. It's fantastic.
Well, you know, Ange, it's something that everybody can do, you know, we have great waters, and you say it all the time, and your guests say it all the time, and in Ontario, I mean, you don't have to go far, and even here in Muskoka, where our summers are taken up by, you know, $150,000 wakeboard boats and all these big machinery on the lakes, I mean, you're still seeing the fishing boats and the tinnies with the grandpa and his son and his grandson, yeah, getting out and enjoying it. And then the mantra of our club is to
Listen, my buddies at all fish here work hard all week, and they love getting up at 5:30 in the morning and meeting at Tim Hortons and heading to Sparrow Lake or, you know, Jumbo or Perry Sound. And that's what we look forward to all week. And then when we can take some of that and what we do and take some kids casting off the break wall in Bracebridge Falls and show them, you know, what a smallmouth bass is or what a rock bass is, and or go to Canadian Tire with our partner here who helps us with our different tournaments and stuff, and show the kids that, you know, fishing is pretty cool, and these are kind of cool boats, and there's all kinds of different things that you can do pretty reasonably cheap. Yep. And it's really become something that we're really, really focused on here in Muskoka. And I think that for the most part, since I've been involved in the last 5 years, we've done a real good job to introduce a lot of young people to the sport.
Give a shout out to the club and the boys that help you in that operation.
Well, we're Muskoka Bass Anglers, and again, there's a bunch of rednecks that I grew up with here. You know, I grew up in Gravenhurst down the road 10 minutes, and Bracebridge is where we are just outside now, and we've got members from Perry Sound, Huntsville, and all around the area, and there's some pretty quality fishermen in this area, and we've proven it when we've gone to different events, and we're a small club, but we're a powerful one, and we have a lot of fun, and we do a lot of good things in the community, and it's something that, you know, when we wear our jerseys, we're quite proud to say that that's who we are.
Well, my friend, you make us all proud. You are a great ambassador for the game of hockey, obviously. But more importantly, to me anyways, you're a great ambassador for the outdoors and fishing in particular, and we appreciate that. As we appreciate you joining us this morning, I know you're busy this time of year getting ready for that official drop of the puck coming up soon. We'll have our eyes and ears on you. Now that we most listeners did know that you were the voice behind
referees when they're on the headset, Ange.
That disallowed goal that breaks our hearts. You're the man.
Hey, listen, we also give them the quality of the breaks a lot, too.
You try
to tell Mike that all the time, but, you know, sometimes he dwells more on the negative, but that's okay.
He forgets about those, huh? As we all do.
Exactly.
Chris, so, I want to thank you for joining us, my friend. We will definitely talk. I want to get you on the program if you don't mind, if you have the time, on a regular basis, more regular basis, so we can address the issue of, I'd like to talk to you about regional fishing clubs and the importance they play, not only in their local community, but in the outdoors in general. That's one topic I'd like to dig in with you. And there are so many more. But we'll have to do it over a series of shows. That means you've got to commit to me. How's that?
I really enjoyed this morning. It's kind of delayed my, as I told you, my toughest char of the year. So I appreciate that very much. And listen, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Come on with you anytime. But I'd love to fish with you in a boat one day. It's always been a dream of mine. So if you can make that happen, then I'm yours.
You got it, brother. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, pal. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Chris King, Senior Vice President of Operations for the National Hockey League, outdoorsman extraordinaire, and as you can tell by this interview, just such a genuinely enthusiastic individual, and it's just a pleasure to be around him. I spent a few days with him a couple of weeks ago, and I got to tell you, I came out of it recharged.
I bet that he'd think a life jacket is equally as important as a helmet for a hockey player.
Well, you know, that's one of the topics I want to talk to him about, among others, of course.